These are the words that God spoke to Joshua. When God was telling Joshua, it's time to go into the promised land. And you'll see that here, where God is saying to Joshua, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan. He's saying, listen, I made some promises to Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob. I used Moses to bring the people of Israel out of Egypt, and I spoke some promises to Moses. But now it's time to go in. See, these other generations, they were waiting on the promise to happen. But God is speaking to Joshua, and he's saying, no, it's time. Sometimes we receive a word from the Lord, and we've got to hold on to it, and we've got to wait for it. Sometimes. But other times, we're over here saying, well, I'm just waiting on the Lord. I'm just waiting on the Lord. And it sounds spiritual, but if the Lord's not telling you to wait, then that's rebellion. If the Lord's saying, it's time to go, and you're over here saying, but I'm just waiting on the Lord. Lord, I'm just waiting for you to do something. And he's saying, oh, yeah, yeah, I'm going to do something. I'm going to fight your enemies. I'm going to blow down those Jericho walls. I'm going to destroy every giant. I'm going to fight for you. I'm going to give you victory. In fact, no man will be able to stand before you, but you need to arise and go. And I believe that's what the Lord is saying to us. There might be some things in your life that you've heard from the Lord, and it may take time, and it may take you pressing into some things in 2018, and you may not see it all happen. But I believe there's some things the Lord has spoken to you, some promises that are right here in the Word of God that he wants to do in you in 2018. Amen. And it's time in some areas of your life, in some areas where the Lord is speaking to you and he's calling to you and he's made promise to you, it's time for you to rise up and to move forward into your promised land. And just like God had given the people of Israel a territory, as it says in verse 4, God said, this is your territory. It was the promised land. In the same way, we have territory. We have promises from God. Promises all over the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. Promises. This book is our territory. This book is our promised land. All these promises, your calling, the things that God wants to do in you, through you, the blessings that he wants to pour out on you, that's your promised land. That's your territory. And the Lord wants you to rise up and grab hold of it. And so he's speaking to us, and he's been telling us over the last couple weeks, as many of you know, you've been here, the Lord's been telling us, hey, it's time to rise up. It's time to enter in to take hold of these promises. And the Lord's been encouraging us about what our territory is. And then you remember last week, or the last couple weeks, we focused on the fact that God, in this passage, is really giving Joshua great encouragement, isn't he? He's saying, I'm going to be with you. He's saying, no man's going to be able to stand before you. He's encouraging him, and he says it three times throughout the passage, be strong and very courageous. Why does God repeat himself? Because he knows that Joshua needs this. Joshua is a man of faith. This is Joshua, the same Joshua with his friend Caleb that 40 years earlier were like, man, we're ready to go now. They were full of faith then. And for 40 years they had to wait on this promise, not because of their sin, but because of the knuckleheads that they were living with. Right? The first generation of the Israelites, they couldn't go in because of their fear and rebellion. Well, Joshua and Caleb, that wasn't them. But can you imagine for 40 years they had to wait on this promise and keep their faith up? They had to continue to believe that God is with us. But see, it's different when you're number two. He was able to support Moses and believe God with Moses, but now Moses is dead. Moses went to be with the Lord. And now Joshua has an assignment on his life and he's carrying the weight on his own shoulders. And the Lord's saying, no, but you're not on your own. I'm going to be with you. And I'm going to go before you. And see, Joshua is probably feeling a little bit insecure, like, well, but Moses was a good leader. And God used Moses, and God did these miracles through Moses. And God's saying, listen, yeah, I used Moses, but he's dead. Yeah. I mean, that's the thing about God. It's funny how the book starts with that. And you want to know why? Because God is eternal. He made the promise to Abraham. Yes. He's the one who fulfilled it through Jesus. He's still alive today. His spirit is in us. One leader, God raises up a leader, uses that leader. That leader goes on or dies or gets sent somewhere else. And God uses another person. But here Joshua's thinking, man, I don't know. Can I do it? Can God use me? And God's saying, no, I'm going to be with you. I'm going to go before you. Nobody's going to be able to stop you. Just like I was with Moses. just like, you mean like the same power that split the Red Sea? The same power that caused plagues to come down? The same power that caused water to come from a rock? You're telling me, God, you're going to be with me in that same kind of supernatural power?
Yeah.
And he's saying,
yep.
And didn't Jesus say the same thing to us?
Yes.
He said, hey, go. Make disciples. That's one of those things we're not supposed to wait on. Go, make disciples. And then he says, and I'll be with you. And I'll be with you. The same Holy Spirit that was on Jesus is the same Holy Spirit in us. Right? The same God that was with Moses. The same God that was with Joshua. The same God that did those supernatural miracles through these people that believed God. The Old Testament, New Testament. The same God that worked powerfully through Jesus to heal people and to deliver all those oppressed of the devil. That same Holy Spirit, that same God is with us. And he's trying to convince us of that. And he's trying to convince Joshua because he's saying to Joshua, you need to be strong and courageous. And why is that? Because the number one thing that will keep us from fulfilling our potential, from grabbing hold of these promises, it's fear, isn't it? And we talked about this last week, that the Lord's calling us to blow down those walls of fear. Fear will keep you in the wilderness, will keep you settled, compromised in the wilderness, and fear will rob your voice and keep you silent. And we saw last week how David, he spoke to that Goliath. We saw that Joshua and the Israelites, they shouted to those Jericho walls. See, between you and your promised land, there's always going to be barriers. There's always going to be fears. But the Lord's saying, no, open up your mouth and you speak to it. In the name of Jesus, with authority, and you shout to your Jericho walls. You command your giant. I'm going to take your head off. And we begin to use our voice, like Jesus used the voice to tell demons to leave or sickness to leave. We use our voice, and we voice the word of God with faith in the name of Jesus, and we see those things fall down. Somebody say amen to that.
Amen.
So we're learning to rise up, to move forward, and not stay settled. We're learning to use our words to blow these things down. And I want to emphasize something today that the Lord, like I said, is saying to Joshua, I will be with you. The Lord's promising his presence here. And I believe that Joshua, his life, is an amazing example of a man that walked in the Spirit. In fact, let me say it a little bit differently. The book of Joshua and the life of Joshua is an amazing example to us as believers of the importance of walking in the Spirit, but also, let me add, then the consequences of if we don't.
Amen.
See, we're told as believers, walk in the Spirit, and you will not gratify the cravings of your flesh. Galatians 5:16. And in fact, going on a little bit further in Galatians chapter 6, the Apostle Paul says, if you sow to the Spirit, you'll reap from the Spirit. You'll reap eternal life. But if you sow to the flesh, you'll reap death and destruction. See, we learn that as believers, if we'll walk in the Spirit, the Lord's power and his favor can flow in our lives. But if we walk in the flesh, it can bring destruction to us, trip us up, cause us to fail. Listen, you cannot fulfill your calling in the flesh. You cannot see the blessing of God come on your life and do it in the flesh. The number one reason is because it's a supernatural thing. The blessings of God and the promise of God and your calling is a supernatural thing, and you can't do it in your own human effort.
Yes.
There's no way those walls were going to fall down in a natural way. Right? No, you need God's power backing you so that it will come to pass in your life. But also because if we're in the flesh, it will also rob us of the favor of God. And even though the Lord loves us and he's for us and he wants to do these things in our life, there's no way he's going to bless us to hell. And so once we get in the flesh, the Lord begins to resist us and remove his favor from us to try to get our attention, to try to wake us up and get us back to his heart, get us back to him. He wants the blessings to flow in our life from him. He doesn't want us to walk in the flesh. And so I want to show you some things here in the life of Joshua, because there's times where Joshua walked in the Spirit, and there's times where he deviated. Yeah. Interestingly about Joshua, he didn't necessarily sin in rebelling against God. But there's times where he was walking in the Spirit and things were flowing. And then there's times where he wasn't walking in the Spirit and he ran into some problems. And his life and the story of the book of Joshua is a perfect example of both the importance of walking in the Spirit and the consequences of if we don't. This is why I believe that God is saying to him, I'm going to be with you. I'm going to be with you. And I believe that's what the Lord is saying to you. I want to help you. I want to help you. You don't need to do it on your own. I want to come alongside of you, and I want to help you do this. I'll be with you. But I also believe in verse 8, this is why God says to Joshua, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night. See, the emphasis that God puts in this passage is, if you're going to walk with me, Joshua, if you're going to walk in the Spirit, if you're going to have the strength and the courage you need, you're going to need to be in my word. Yeah. And notice he doesn't just say, not just reading it. Although, like we've said, that's step one. Not just studying it, though that's important. He says to meditate on it, and very specifically, he says, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. Yeah. He doesn't say, this book of the law shall not depart from your mind or your thoughts. It's not wrong to think about God in our thoughts, but that's not where the power lies. He's saying, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. He's telling him, I want you to preach it to yourself. Speak it out loud. Talk with it. Talk about it with other people. Meditate the word. Yeah, think about it, but out loud, thinking about it, pondering on it, talking to yourself, repeating the word over and over again, out loud, maybe even reading it out loud to yourself. Let the word of God get into your ears and into your heart. Why is this so important? He's saying to him, why? Because, see, without the word of God, you won't have the wisdom to know what to do. Just as the Bible says, your word in Psalm 119, your word is a lamp unto my path and a light unto my feet, right? Probably said that backwards, didn't I? Light unto my path and a lamp unto my feet. There you go. Amen. Light. If you're not in the word, you won't have light. You won't know what to do, how to do it. You won't have the wisdom, the clarity. See, God is saying to him, listen, if I'm going to be with you and my favor and my power are going to be with you, you need to be in the word. You need to be in the Word. Not only that, how would he have the strength and the courage to believe God could part the Jordan or bring down the walls of Jericho or defeat those armies if the Word of God wasn't in him? See, when you're in the Word imparts to you strength and courage. It begins to convince you as you read the Word, God paints pictures in your mind of what he's going to do. Rather than you seeing your limitations or your past or all the things that other people have said are not possible. When you read the Word, you begin to see what God can do and what God will do. I like to tell people, man, when I read the Word, I just feel sane. I feel sane. This world is insane. Yes. Amen. All the media, all the immorality, all the craziness and the drama, all the natural ways of thinking and that this can't happen and that that's not possible and living in the past, living limited. I mean, people are crazy. Yes. You want that? Go right ahead. You sow to the flesh, you will reap destruction and death. Go right ahead. But if you want to see the blessing and the power of God on your life, you got to do it his way. Amen. So I get into the Word of God, and I see God speaking to people, and I realize I'm not crazy. I'm sane. I get into the Word of God and God says, live this way. Say no to those things. Say no to greed and lust and all that stuff. And I realize I'm not the crazy one. Right. See, because the world wants us to think we're crazy. That's right. Now, there's some religious people out there. They're a little crazy. They need Jesus. But I'm talking about just us. We love Jesus. We're worshiping. Got our hands raised. We're like, yeah, Jesus. And people are like, man, what's wrong with them? What's wrong with us? Man, we got the joy of the Lord. We have hope, right? But this world wants to make you feel like, man, you're crazy. You're crazy. You're crazy. You mean you're going to wait till you're married to have sex? Yeah, because that's where the blessing of God is. Now, some people, they mess that up. That's all right. The Lord going to forgive you. You repent, confess that sin. Lord going to forgive you. That's all right. We don't need to live into shame. But I'm saying, no, I'm going to do it God's way and see the blessing of God on my life. People have thought I was crazy for many years. And I realized, man, no, you get in the Word of God and there's clarity and light, wisdom. Amen. Courage comes into your heart. And the power of God is released. Here, why is this? Listen, walking in the Spirit and walking according to the Word of God, they're not contrary. Living by the Word and living by the Spirit are not contrary. So we have some extremes in the body of Christ. On one extreme, you have these people that they love the Word of God. They're committed to the Word and they get principles and truths from the Word of God. And hey, that works really good for them. But they don't realize that the Holy Spirit is still alive. Can lead us, can speak to us, can move powerfully through us, to heal other people, to prophesy. Oh, wonderful things. And so they have the truths and the principles of the Word of God. And that's good stuff. I mean, they see the blessing of God because they're obeying the Lord. But there's another extreme in the body of Christ where people think being led by the Spirit means being led by feelings. Being led by what I think is right. What I feel is okay. Oh, and I believe that is actually not the Holy Spirit. That is a deceiving spirit. Because the Holy Spirit, He wrote the Bible. And we're even told in Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 3, man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. If you're being led by the Spirit, you'll be led by the Word. But how could you be led by the Spirit if you're not in His book? I have found a direct correlation between if I'm in the Word and reading the Word and meditating the Word and me hearing the Lord. Because the Bible says the entrance of His Word brings light. The entrance of His Word brings light. So the Word of God and the Spirit of God, they're not in contrast. No, they're complementary. The Holy Spirit wrote the Bible. And what He does is He takes from the Word of God, the truths of the Word of God, and then applies it to us and leads us and directs us. That's why the Bible says His Word is a light unto my path and a lamp unto my feet. Because He's saying, no, He can direct you. I think a lot of times about probably like 90% of what you need to know in terms of the will of God and the purposes of God and the promise of God, it's all right there in the Bible. You don't even need to guess what He wants you to do and what He doesn't want you to do. Right? Oh, does the Lord want me to love people? I mean, it's not hard. You know, people want to say, oh, there's all these different interpretations about the Bible. It's not hard. In fact, we're told in the Bible that Jesus said this, that there will be false teachers. The Apostle Paul said there will be false teachers. In fact, the Apostle Peter said, oh yeah, unstable people twist Paul's writings like they do the rest of Scripture. Unstable people. You know those people who are like, yeah, but doesn't the Bible say this? Oh man, I've had this happen. People ask me these crazy questions. Unstable people who want to twist the Bible to justify their sin. No, but that's not us. It's so simple. The Bible is so simple. Now, there's some things that are cultural and linguistic and all that stuff, and you got questions, come and ask me. But it's not that difficult. Man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that comes out of the mouth of God. You hear God, you do what He says. He says, that will bring death, you believe Him, and you don't do it. He says, that will bring life, you believe Him, and He will do it. He makes a promise, you stand on that promise. It's not difficult, but what the Holy Spirit does is He empowers you to be able to obey God. The Holy Spirit can speak to you and apply truths to you and personalize it so you know what to do right here, right now. How would Joshua know that it was time to take the land if God didn't speak to him? So here is God speaking to Joshua. Joshua, arise, go. He just heard the Lord. And God is saying to him, meditate in my law, in my word, day and night. This is God. God, do you get what I'm saying? God's saying, you need to be in the Word. And God giving Joshua specific strategies, saying, it's time, this is how to do it. by the Holy Spirit. Do you see? We need both. And if you'll be in the Word, you'll hear the Lord, and the Lord can direct your steps. The Lord can direct your steps. That's why the Bible says, acknowledge the Lord in all your ways, and He will direct your steps. So we need the Word, and we need the Holy Spirit. In fact, it's really the best way to say it is if you're walking in the Spirit, you will be in line with the Word of God. We as believers are not to be led by feelings, by our own heart. Some people will say that in our culture. Just follow your heart. Yeah, right to hell. The Bible even says that wickedness is rooted in doing what's right in your own eyes. We're also not supposed to be led by signs. Not that the Lord cannot confirm what He said by a sign, but we're not to be led by signs. Why? Because then it's on you. It's on you to interpret. Well, Lord, if you want me to do that, just, you know. Man, you can make up anything. We're not supposed to be led by open and closed doors either. Opportunities that seem like they're God, or maybe obstacles that, well, maybe God's saying no because there's a closed door. How do you know He doesn't want you to kick that door down? And how do you know that open door is God? How do you know it's not the devil? Amen. We're not supposed to be led by these things. We're not supposed to be led by psychics and spiritists and all that. We have the Holy Spirit, and we have the Word of God, and He wants us to come to Him and hear His Word, and then ask Him, Lord, I'm acknowledging You. Lord, speak to me. Direct my step. Holy Spirit, would You reveal to me from Your Word, what do I need to do? How do I need to do it? And the Lord will direct your steps, and He'll give you victory. This is what the Lord is saying. If you'll meditate My Word day and night, He'll say, then you will be prosperous. Then you will have good success. Why? Because when you're meditating in the Word, you're walking in the Spirit, He'll lead you to obey the Word. And when you obey the Word, it will release His blessing and His victory and His success in whatever you put your hand to. So what did Joshua do? It wasn't until Joshua rose up, crossed over the Jordan, overcame his fear, and courageously moved forward towards that Jericho wall that God spoke to him. Do you remember? And God gave him a strategy. And God was saying to him, listen, I don't want you just to go at this with military might, with your strength and your weapons and all that. It wouldn't work. God's saying, no, listen, I'm going to do this for you. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to walk around those walls one time a day for 7 days, and I don't want you to say anything. Listen, a lot of times what God's going to speak to you to do, it will not make any sense to you in the natural, and it won't make any sense to other people, and again, they'll think you're crazy. Amen. A lot of times what the Lord wants to do is counterintuitive to how we've been raised. People say it's illogical. Actually, it's the most logical thing to do. Amen. To obey God. It's just you got to get your mind renewed and wrapped around what God is doing here. See, God was wanting these guys to walk around these walls and to keep their mouth shut. Yeah. And He's testing their faith. And He's making sure to keep them focused. He doesn't want anybody grumbling and complaining. Why are we doing this? He said, man, just be quiet. Only words of faith. So they had to keep their mouth shut. And you know, some Christians, well, we did it for 3 days. Can't we just shout already? You know, and you know some Christian shout to that wall and be like, it didn't work. Well, but did you do what God said? Well, yeah, I walked around for 3 days. He didn't say 3 days. He said 7 days. See, sometimes we want to, like, try to fool God. We want to trick Him as if He's dumb. He's not dumb. He knows exactly what He's doing, and He knows exactly what you're doing. But if you're honest with God and what His Word says, and you'll walk in the Spirit, He said walk around 7 times, right? Now, you know, some Christians, they got to be all like, I'm going to walk around, you know, yeah, I've heard people, I'm going to walk around that girl 7 times and then she can be mine. No. He told Joshua to walk around 7 times. What's He saying to you? And probably what He's saying to you is, don't be weird like that, you know? But listen, he told that was the strategy God gave Joshua. Amen. See, sometimes we read the Bible and we see the testimony, we think, that's it. Walk around 7 times. Now, if the Holy Spirit tells you to do something like that, that's cool. But what I'm saying is we'll say, walk around 7 times. No, you missed the point of the testimony. The point is He heard God. And you need to hear God. Amen. See, you've got some obstacles. You've got some barriers. And as I was praying, I heard the Lord saying, I want to help you with that. I want to help you. You see a wall that you don't think could ever come down, but I could help you with that. You see some barriers in your own life. You see some sin in you and you feel like, man, I don't know if I could get free. And the Lord's saying, no, but I could help you with that. If you walk in the Spirit, bam, I'll knock those things down. If you walk in the Spirit, I'll give you that strategy and I'll blow those things down and I'll give you freedom. See, what we don't think is possible, God can do. And so you guys know, Joshua walked around those, led the people of Israel, walk around seven times silently. And then on the seventh day, they walked around seven times. And then only after that, he said, all right, get those trumpets and get your voices. And they shouted at those walls. And those walls came straight down. We have archaeological evidence for that. See, that's not even possible. That's not possible. But it's because with their words, they agreed with God. And God's power was released and brought those walls down. They took victory. And they took the victory and they got Jericho. That's an example of walking in the Spirit, isn't it? Here's a man meditating the word. And he comes before God and he's saying, God, I don't know what to do. And God speaks to him, gives him a strategy that would have never worked if he tried to do it in his own natural effort. See, that's what happens when you're walking in the Spirit and you're aligned with God and you're stepping out in faith. The favor and the power of God give you victory every time, every time. But do you remember what happened next? Joshua, riding on the wave of that victory, says, this is awesome. God is with us. Yes, just like he said, God is with us. Nobody can stop us. All right, we're going to take the next city, Ai, and we're not going to take everybody. We're just going to take a bunch of guys. So you guys go. You take that city. Go. And what happened? They lost. They were defeated. 36 men, if I'm not mistaken. 36 men killed. Israelites killed. Defeated. And these guys come back discouraged, defeated. I thought God was with us. I thought God was on our side. Why did we lose? And then Joshua comes before God. God, why did you even tell us to come over here if you're going to let us lose like that? And this is what God said to Joshua. Get up. Come on, stop crying. Come on, stop crying. Get up, get up. He says, listen, there's sin in the camp. Here's what Joshua didn't do. He didn't acknowledge the Lord. He didn't consult God and ask God, God, do you want us to take Ai?
Yeah.
Is your favor with us? How do you want me to do it? He didn't do that. He didn't ask the Lord. And so he didn't know that there was sin. Joshua didn't sin. But listen, the sin of other people can affect us.
Amen.
Right, come on, we all know that. Parents sin, it can affect children.
Yes.
Right? Children can sin. They can affect the parents. Come on, the Israelites, a bunch of knuckleheads, didn't want to go in the promised land, and then Joshua and Caleb had to wait. So our sin can affect other people. And this man named Achan, as you remember in the book of Joshua, Achan, what happened? With nobody knowing, Achan went in, and they're taking Jericho, and God had said, nobody take anything. Jericho belongs to me. It's basically a tithe to the Lord, the first fruits to God. And Achan, what happened was, in the Bible later, Achan admits it. He says, I saw this Babylonian gold coat, and I saw this and that. Basically, he saw some bling, right? He saw some jewelry, and he saw some gold, and he saw nice clothes, and you know what I mean? And he saw that nice Ferrari, right? And he saw that, right? And he saw that other woman's, other man's wife. No, I mean, he didn't see all that, but that's what happened. What lust, greed, it starts with what? The eyes. The lust of the eyes. This is why we got to walk in the Spirit. Because if you walk in the flesh, your flesh will lead you to hell. Your flesh is stupid. Let me say it differently. My flesh is stupid. And my flesh and your flesh will try to get you to do things that are comfortable and safe or selfish or pleasureful or just an escapism, and it will destroy you. It will destroy your, it can destroy your marriage. Lust will destroy your marriage. Greed can rob you of joy, even lose your soul. Remember Jesus said, oh, you could gain the whole world, but lose your soul. And that's exactly what happened with Achan. Sometimes Christians, you ask them, man, what do you want? I want to be rich. Oh, really? You want to be rich? Well, so you got riches, but did you lose your soul?
Okay.
Now listen, the Lord wants to bless you, But the Bible says the blessing of the Lord makes one rich and adds no sorrow to it. But that's because you got it the right way. You walked in the Spirit. You obeyed the Lord. And sometimes that means he's going to tell you, no, that one's not yours. No, no, don't do it that way. Don't do it that way. But if you'll seek the Lord, put him first, and you'll walk in the Spirit, oh, the Lord can bless you. So what happened with Achan? Achan sinned against the Lord, and his sin caused 36 other people to die because of hidden, unconfessed, unrepented of sin. Because Achan was being led by the flesh and went after something with lust and greed. But what happened? The Bible says it this way. God says it to Joshua. He says this in chapter 7, verse 12. Therefore, the children of Israel could not stand before their enemies, but turned their backs before their enemies because they have become doomed to destruction. Neither will I be with you anymore. See, the Lord, what happened? They walked in the flesh. Achan walked in the flesh. He brought sin into the camp. And the favor of God was lifted. This is the God who said, I will be with you. But what is he saying? I'll be with you if you're going to walk in the Spirit and do it my way. But the moment you start going that way, I'm not going to bless that. So the Lord removed his blessing. Now, some Christians will think, God's against me. No, 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 he's for you. He loves you. Did he remove his promise? Did he reject the Israelites? No. He was waiting for them to repent, was he not? He was waiting for somebody to ask him. See, that's why the Bible says, acknowledge the Lord in all your ways. In all your ways. In all your ways. See, because if we're not talking to the Lord, if we're not spending time with him in his word, and we're not saying, Lord, today I'm opening my heart, what do you want to say to me? I'm open to encouragement. I like that. I'm open to correction if I need it. Lord, but I need you to speak to me. If we're not doing that regularly, in fact, maybe daily, acknowledge the Lord in all your ways, then what are we doing if we're not acknowledging the Lord? Leaning on our own understanding. And that's where Joshua went wrong a little bit. It's not that Joshua was in sin. It's that Joshua was not acknowledging the Lord and asking God, what do you want us to do? He was leaning on his own understanding. He was depending on his own human efforts, on his own human abilities. Oh, I'm a good leader. Oh, yeah, here we go, God, I'm good. And then all of a sudden he realized, no, I can't do this without God. But then what happened? The moment that sin was confessed and they dealt with it, in this case, Achan was killed because he caused other people to die. All right? In our lives, not like that as much as this. If we'll confess our sin and repent, right there, the favor of God will be released. Right then. The Bible says, if you confess your sin, he's faithful and just to forgive you of your sin and cleanse you of all unrighteousness. It's at that very moment that you would simply acknowledge, Lord, you're right, I'm wrong. I sinned against you. I confess that was sin, that was wrong. I repent. Right then, the grace of God, flood. And it's exactly what happened. Once they repented, I love this, because once they repented, dealt with that sin, got rid of it. Right here in chapter 8, verse 1. Now the Lord said to Joshua, Do not be afraid nor dismayed. Take all the people of war with you and raise up and arise and go to Ai. See, I have given it into your hand. See what the Lord did? The moment they repented, he was waiting right there. He was waiting right there. The moment they confessed their sin and repented, the Lord said, I'm with you now. Don't even be worried. Amen. You don't need to live in shame and condemnation. You don't need to be afraid. Oh, maybe it's not going to work this time. Well, maybe God's still mad at me. No, 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 no. You confessed it. Jesus already died for it. Amen. See, he died for sin. So until we confess it as sin, it's not covered. But once you confess that as sin, it's covered under the cross, under the blood. Amen. And it's done. The Bible says there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. This is how you walk in the Spirit. This is how you walk in the Spirit. But if you're in the flesh, your heart gets hard, you can't hear the Lord. I think this is one of the number one reasons Christians are often spiritually deaf, because their hearts are hard because they're in the flesh, because they're resisting God, or they're hiding something of sin from the Lord. They're not admitting it to him. But if you just confess it to the Lord, I learned this when I was 16. Young man, I'm getting free from lust, and I learned, I came to the Lord. And I start crying out to God, God, make me free. You want me to be free?
Yeah.
You want me to be free? I'm asking you to make me free. And the Lord taught me, okay, you're going to need to set aside these things that you're doing. Even certain shows you're watching. What? You're crazy. See, the world thinks we're crazy. Our flesh doesn't want to do that. But I told the Lord, okay, Lord, you want me to do it? This is the way to get free? See, I was so young as a Christian, I didn't know to not obey God. I was like, well, he wants me to be free. He knows everything. So I should just do it. And I did it. See, sometimes we get a little too smart for God, don't we?
Yes.
We're like, well, but... No. He said to do it, do it. So as a young Christian, I just put aside a bunch of the media and I meditate the word out loud. He taught me to speak the word out loud and to praise him out loud. And he began to teach me to declare, I am righteous in Christ. And he taught me if I'd cry out to him, he'd set me free. The Bible says, he who calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. So I cried out to God. And here I was, a young man, 16 years old. Boom, and the Lord broke that stronghold of lust in my heart. And he broke a lot of other stuff too. And he set me free and healed me. But what was he teaching me right then? Confess that sin. Get it out in the open. And begin to walk in the Spirit. And I would hear the Lord speak to me. Listen, when we walk in the Spirit, we can be attuned to the Lord and hear his voice. And he can give you strategies. And he can give you wisdom. And he can bring breakthrough to your life. But if you're walking in the flesh, your ears are going to be closed up. Spiritually deaf. Spiritually blind. If you're walking in the flesh, it hardens your heart. To me, it's the scariest thing, because if we're walking in the flesh too long, the Bible says our hearts can become hard. The Bible calls it self-deception. You think you're good, but you're not. And I've watched people, because of lust, because of greed, lose their soul, walk away from God, from their calling, from God, forfeit eternal life, because they wanted to do things their way. And then, of course, you want to make it sound like it's intellectual. Or you might sound like, right, people do that. See, they want to make you think you're crazy. Yeah, I used to believe in God. Now somehow I'm enlightened. No. They're just justifying their sin. They're just justifying their sin. Let me tell you a story real quick. There was this young father. He's married, and he had like a young baby, and he was in one of my discipleship classes. And we were talking about how to be led by the Spirit and how to speak the Word of God and all this stuff. And he comes to me, and he was in OSL, and he tells me this story. He says, I had this job interview, and I did not know how I'm going to get this job. I mean, he just didn't have the best resume, although I'm sure he was a great guy, great worker. And he went to this interview, and there is a ton of other people there. And he tried to dress nice and all that kind of stuff, but you guys know how that is. Even looking for a job nowadays on the internet, it's so difficult. And then if you actually show up there, all these other people, maybe they're more qualified. He did not know what to do. But guess what he did? He asked the Lord.
Amen.
Acknowledge the Lord in all your ways. He'll direct your steps. And he asked the Lord. He said, always gets me. He says, Lord, what do you want me to do? How do I get this job? And the Lord, this is what the Lord said. Walk fast. And, you know, it's just like the disciples around Jesus, right? It must be a metaphor, right? Remember when Jesus was like, I'm going to die and rise again. What does he mean by that? No, he really meant, walk fast. So the Lord's like, walk fast. And he's like, what? So he does his thing. He fills stuff out. And the person calls his name. He says, I think his name's Abraham. And it's Abraham, he calls his name Abraham, right? And he stands up. And the girl says, follow me. And the girl begins to walk. And so he just did what the Lord said, and he walked fast. And he made sure he stayed with that person. He walked with them and kept pace with them. And they were kind of like, Now he's probably thinking, now they're thinking I'm weird or whatever, right? Well, whatever happened, he gets in, and they ask him like one or two questions. And then like the other, I might be messing up some of the details, but there was another higher up person who came in to talk with him and said, oh, here, I want to talk with you. Come in with me to another room. And she starts walking, and he follows her, and he walks fast. And he just stays right with her and just walks real fast, And she's looking at him like, okay. And they get into that room, and she asks him, why did you walk fast? And what he did, I don't think he said, you know, God told me or whatever, but he answered, well, you know, I just want to be, diligent and all that. But that's what she said. She said, I noticed how you walked fast. I noticed how you carried yourself. And they didn't even do one of those, like, we'll call you back thing. They didn't even do one of those, well, we'll think we'll hire you. They didn't even do that. They said, you know what? We're going to hire. I like you. I like the way you carry yourself. I'm going to hire you.
Amen.
Amen. I mean, see, that's our God. Now, listen, there's some good practical wisdom in the Bible about stuff like that. Be diligent. Look people in the eye and all that kind of stuff. And you can read the Bible and you can catch that. And it'll help you, by the way. But how would you know that? How would you know that that lady is going to just like that attitude? Going to really, like, that she likes walking fast and she wants other people to walk fast. How would you know? You wouldn't know. You would not know unless the Lord spoke to you. I was teaching a class one time. I've taught for many years at a college, and I was teaching a particular class. It was my first semester, and it was difficult for me. It was difficult. It was about the cultures of the Bible, and not the Bible itself. And I was having a hard time because I like the Bible. And the cultures are important because it's the background of the Bible, but I was having a hard time connecting it. The students, I think, were having a hard time. I was a little bit frustrated. And I talked to the Lord about this more than once, but I remember one night, I'm going to bed, and I remember saying to the Lord, God, now give me a breakthrough with this class. Give me a breakthrough. I prayed that and I went to bed. That morning I woke up and I went to a prayer meeting. It was about 6:30 a.m. or whatever. We go to the prayer meeting. We're all kind of groggy. And we sit down and I don't remember if I was playing the guitar. No, somebody else playing the guitar. And they grab the guitar and like the first strum of the guitar. First strum. And we just, bring. And all of a sudden, now we're going to worship. Yeah, praise you, Jesus, right? We start worshiping and instantly, boom, this idea came into my head. It was like it would have taken you 5 or 10 minutes to explain it to me. With the Lord, it was like instant. I could see it in my spirit, right? Because that's how the Lord speaks to you, from his spirit to your spirit. I could see it in my spirit. I caught it, and I thought, oh, yeah. And it was so simple, by the way. It was so simple. But I was having a hard time. I couldn't think it through. Couldn't see, how do I get this class? And the Lord gave me this idea of how to take the cultures and integrate it more with the actual text of the Bible. It wasn't really a complicated idea, but it was just from the Lord. Boom! Yeah. And I did it, and I'm still teaching that class. And I'll tell you this, at least it's more enjoyable for me. But I believe from the reaction that I get from my students and such, I believe that that was impactful for them too. And it helped me to connect it and make that class more relevant to believers and to future preachers and such. I mean, just like that, boom! See, do you get what the Lord is saying to you? The Lord is saying, I want to help you. I want to give you strategies. I want to solve that problem you're facing. It's not too hard for me, says the Lord. I'll be with you. I'll give you the answer you need. I'll speak to you. I'll direct your steps. I can open up the doors that need to be opened and give you the favor that needs to be given. I can answer your prayers. I'll be with you. And just like Joshua, he's telling us, okay, I'm going to be with you, but you got to rise up and go. You've got to be strong and courageous. Speak to those fears. Declare my word out of your mouth. And the Lord's saying, now meditate my word day and night. Stay in my word and walk in my spirit, acknowledging me in all your ways. I'll direct your steps. I'll speak to you. Right? If you get off track like Joshua did, you confess that sin. You repent. You get right back. You get right back into the spirit. So I've learned that. I learned my flesh can get grumpy. My flesh can get selfish. My flesh can get angry, right? Even though I walk in freedom from lust, doesn't mean I don't get tempted as a man. And I have to choose. Lord, no, I confess that right now. I confess that sin. Well, I just get right back on track. And I've learned, because I am born again and the Holy Spirit is in me, and because I'm saved by grace, I learned, no, I'm not going to give in to the fear of condemnation. I'm not going to get sucked into that. I'm not going to get sucked into the rabbit trail of the flesh. No, I'm going to stop it right there. A lot of times, the way I walk in purity, I stop it right there in my thoughts. See, before it even goes to lust, right? As a man, thoughts come in your head, or I know ladies too, or guys, we see stuff. In Hollywood, there were billboards everywhere. You got to learn to avert your eyes. And I learned as a young man, not only with my words, but I learned to shut it off right there before it even becomes anything. Before it even becomes a thought. No, I stop it right now. I rebuke that spirit of lust in the name of Jesus, right? Before it even gets to it. And then if I do go down there, I say, Lord, I confess. That's lust. But I do the same thing with fear. Right? right? Ladies, you might get sucked into that, or anxiety, or greed starts to come over, or envy, or you just want to be lazy. It's okay to rest sometimes, but you just want to be lazy, and you know it's just your flesh. You need to go do some things for the Lord or do some things for your family, but you're just giving into your flesh. There's times where you got to say, no, flesh, you're dumb. And I'm not going to walk in the flesh. I'm going to walk in the Spirit. And you just confess it and get right back into the Spirit. Spend some time with the Lord. Pray in the Spirit. And watch, the Lord's going to speak to you. Watch, the light's going to come into your mind. Watch, courage is going to come into your heart. Amen? Amen.